this morning. Within a 3-mile radius of where you're sitting, 50,000 people are not in church. And the vast majority of those 50,000 people are lost without Jesus Christ right here. Does that bother you? I mean, does that grip your heart to know that we've got half the empty seats in this house and 50,000 people just within 3 miles of where you're sitting, if they died today, most of which would split hell wide open? I'm telling you, folks, my heart is burdened. Maybe over the years we have preached such a feel-good gospel. We've wanted to make our people feel so good when they left that we've forgotten the main ingredient, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are 50,000 people that need to hear that heartbeat that Doug just sang about. And there are people within our churches that need to hear that heartbeat like never, ever, ever before. We seem to think we've got all the time in the world to get the job done. We take our passé, blasé attitude. Let someone else do it, it'll get taken care of. And yet, all along, they're falling and dying without Jesus. The Lord Jesus told us from the very beginning, folks, how we know how to do this. He said, each run one, reach one. But over 80% of the folks hadn't got that message yet, because over 80% of born-again Christians have never even so much as told another person about Jesus. Houston, we got a problem. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on us. I'm just burdened when I drive up and down Austell Road, down Olive Springs, down South Cobb Drive, down Sandtown Road, all through Bellmead, all through Powder Springs area and the road, Powder Springs. And I pass by these houses and I think, was that person in church today? And should they have been in church because I should have gone to say something about Jesus like never before? Let me ask you a question. Have you come to the place in your life where you know for certain that you have invited Jesus Christ into your life, and if you died today, would you be in heaven with Jesus? I want you to memorize that question. It's called a key question. But it asks a very important question to anyone. You just simply say, let me ask you a question. That's all you begin. And you say to them simply this: have you come to the place in your life where you know for certain that you have eternal life and that you've invited Jesus Christ into your life? And if you die today, would you be in heaven with Jesus? Don't hope so. I love John, the writer. I love when he wrote and taught us literally what the Bible says. That these things have I written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. But folks, we got a problem. Last week I talked to you about the purpose of God. And God's purpose is that you and I can live at peace with Him completely, totally, and eternally, because of faith in Jesus Christ. God's purpose was to send His one and only Son to die for you and me. But the problem is simply three letters: sin. And that's the topic for this morning. And I've chosen from steps to peace with God, the second part of it, our problem, sin and separation. And I've chosen the scriptures Dr. Graham uses, Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. And as we go through these messages, you will understand I'm simply walking you through what we've termed the Roman road of how to lead someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, how you can share with them. Now, let me say something to you, folks. You can't save anybody. You are not responsible to save anybody. All you and I are responsible to do is to tell the story, this story. God does the saving through His power. It's up to God. He takes care of that. And the Bible says He is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ took every sin that you and I would ever commit to a cross. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, the Bible tells us that God laid upon Jesus our sin, our iniquity, because we've all gone astray. The most horrific judgment on sin was through the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. But I stand before you as your pastor to tell you today that that cross is empty. My Lord is no longer in that grave. I don't worship a dead God. He's alive, I tell you. He's alive, and He's living in this heart of mine, and He's been there ever since 1961 when I left this very sanctuary, and a mother and dad led me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the ministry of this church. I know that for sure. There is no doubt in my mind. Jesus Christ came into my heart as a 9-year-old boy. He's never left me, nor will He ever leave me. And so, folks, my prayer for you this morning is that you can leave here knowing without a doubt, but that you can leave here also praying. Many of you have told me of the people you are praying for salvation. You've told me of names of grandchildren, of family members, of co-workers, of friends, of neighbors that you're praying for. And folks, this understanding of the word sin, and let me apologize for my voice. It may completely go in just a few minutes. I don't know. I've been dealing with an upper respiratory infection. I still have it. Can't seem to get rid of it. And so by the time it's all over with, I may be whispering this morning, but you stay with me. I can't talk long, so this will be a short message because the voice will just simply quit. But I got four statements I want to tell you based on these two scriptures, Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. I hope you have your Bibles, and you hope you have them open to the book of Romans, if you will, Romans 3:23. We just memorized that. Will you say it with me? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Folks, the first thing I want you to know about sin is this. All have sinned. Now, I know we say to that and we think, yeah, that's all. That makes everybody. But there's a little word in the Greek language that is, it's pronounced panta. P-A-N-T-A, in this particular form, it's pronounced pas, but it's from the word panta. And whenever the word panta is used, it means all-inclusive, everything, no matter what. In other words, when the scriptures say something to this effect, and the disciples left the room, how many disciples you figured left the room? All of them. The word is all-inclusive. The Bible says all have sinned. And that little word sin there is the Greek word harmatano. And it literally means to miss the mark, to fall short, not to measure up. And the word sin there is in the Greek aorist. We spell that A-O-R-I-S-T, tense. It's similar to our past tense. But it means once and for all. Now, it doesn't mean we sinned one time. What this is saying, Where did sin enter into this world? Through what man, folks? Adam. Came through Adam. The word sin here, and literally all have sinned, that word sin in the Greek is a direct reference right back to the sin of Adam, because it means the sin that Adam sinned when mankind decided to choose his own way and not God's way. So folks, something very simple. All have sinned. We are a sinner by nature, and we choose to sin. There's nothing we can do about that. We are born into sin. And sin always separates from God. Inside this little track, our problem, sin and separation. And simply the verse of Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23, for all, everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Folks, when you understand that all have sinned, in the second place this morning, you understand the second part of Romans 23. Romans 3:23. The second part of that, write this answer. You know it by knowing the Scripture. All have what? Fallen short of the what now? Glory of God. Now folks, I know you're saying, Randy, this is so elementary. This is Bible preaching. It's its fundamental state. You're exactly right. And I believe we've got to return to our preaching. Back like this, like never, ever, ever before. The word fallen short is expressed in one little Greek word. And the word literally means to fall behind, to come up short, to fail to measure up. The word is in the present tense, indicating that we are always falling up and coming behind and falling behind in His glory. And as a sinner, you and I cannot measure up to the standard of God, which is God's incredible glory. No matter what you and I try to do, there's no way we can measure up enough to what God demands of us in being perfect. Yet today, my fear is that there are those who trust simply just being a good old boy. And that's all it takes for my salvation. Many have said to me in the past 40 years, I'm good to my family, Randy. I'm good to my children. I support God's church with my money. I work hard. I obey the law. I live a good moral life. I'm good enough. That's all I need. So many have told me that. And with that lie, ladies and gentlemen, Satan continues to deceive so many people, in particular, church people. I remind you what the Word of God says in Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. I think of John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot and will not see the kingdom of God. And then I think of Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby a man may be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, we have fallen short of the glory of God. I went back and looked at the glory of God again, the Shekinah glory. And I could spend hours with you this morning on a theological discourse of the Shekinah glory of God, of the brightness, of the light of who God is. But understand, folks, when we're understanding the glory of God here, the glory of God is His excellence. It is His splendor, it is His brilliance, His brightness, His magnificence, His preeminence, His dignity, His majesty, and His grace. It's the absolute perfection of God, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, that light of God that no man can look on and can see. And folks, every one of us in this house has fallen short of God's standard to measure up to His glory. All have sinned. But then there's a third statement I want you to hear this morning. The payment for our sin is what, folks? Death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Excuse me. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We deserve death and hell. The 50,000 people I told you about within a 3-mile radius of this church deserve death and hell. Sin deserves death for two very clear reasons. Number one, sin is disobeying, acting against God and His very nature. And sin is rebellion against God. It is rejecting, it is ignoring, it is disobeying, it is denying and refusing to live for God. That sin death penalty has got to be paid. There is no remedy for sin other than death. Exactly. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as a laborer receives his wages, so sin shall receive its wages. Just as it would be unjust not to pay the laborer, it would be unjust not to pay sin for its work. In fact, if sin did not receive its just punishment, it would be the most gross injustice of eternity. Why? Because sin is against the sovereign majesty of God Himself. And sin must receive its just wages. Sin must die, and it must be banished forever from the presence of God. Death, the death of Jesus, was the only answer to sin. And the only sinless Son of God, God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ, He had to die for you and me. He could not have come down from that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, but 10,000 angels couldn't do one thing for Him because He had to die. Ladies and gentlemen, we deserve death and hell, not Jesus. But I like the fourth thing I want to tell you about this morning. The fourth thing, and it's simply this. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, I am so glad God put three-letter conjunction but in Scripture. He says it like this, but the gift of God, excuse me, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But the gift of God, and I love this word gift. The word gift here is the word charisma. We pronounce it charisma. That's the word. It simply means gift. It is the word charisma. Spiritual gifts, we add a couple of letters in Greek and call it charismata. But it's so interesting. The word charisma that is used right here for the word gift of God, it begins with the word charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Now, knowing nothing or anything about the Greek language, you would say, so what, Brother Randy? But knowing just a little bit that makes me dangerous with the Greek language is just enough to help me figure out this little word. That little word begins that we translate grace or gift right there is actually the word grace. It means a gift of grace. So now, you go back to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but God's gift of grace, grace gift is what it says in Romans 6:23, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am so glad that God sent His one and only Son to take every sin I would ever commit to that old cross and to die for me and then to give me a grace gift. I can't merit it. I can't deserve it. I can't work for it. I can't go to church enough for it. I can't read my Bible enough for it. I can't go to Sunday school enough for it. God says it's yours if you'll just ask me to come into your life and let me save you through my blood. why have we made that so hard? Why have we become literally scared to death to tell anybody about that? For fear perhaps of getting shot? For fear of getting rejected? For fear of whatever? All they can say is no. Why is it that we won't simply ask, have you come to the place in your life where you know for certain you have eternal life, and that if you died today, would you be in heaven with Jesus? And then look to them and say, well, would you mind reading this and taking this and reading it and promise me you'll do it? Will you do that for me? Everybody who's a believer can do that. Yet why don't we? I'm not so sure we're as sold out as we talk. We talk a big talk, but folks, the actions approve whether or not we truly love Jesus when we tell the world about Him. 8 people have come to know Jesus Christ in the history in this church in the last year. Praise God. But it breaks my heart. I'll be 800. And folks, again, I'm just burdened. Okay? My heart breaks when I go out in this community to get in my car and go to the hospitals and visit you folks or others or whatever, or go where I'm going in my daily activity through the church and ministry, and I see people, and I see them at their houses, I see kids at school, I see people everywhere, and I think, Lord Jesus, what is it that we can do? What can we do at Olive Springs right here in this community that can make a difference? And every time I think of that, God just says, Randy, take them back to the basics. Just take them back to the simple terms of coming to know Jesus and tell people about Jesus. That's why I'm preaching this series. I'm preaching to the choir, ladies and gentlemen. You know the answers to every one of these blanks I'm giving you. Just tell me, why is it the Southern Baptist Convention is no longer reaching people for Jesus? We've cuddled ourselves up inside our beautiful buildings. We've cuddled ourselves up inside of ourselves. And we've said, let someone else do it. I'm finished. You take care of it. And ladies and gentlemen, 50,000 people are dying and going to hell. And their blood is on us. I don't know how else to say it. That's what the Bible says. So we've got to make a decision. I'm not a betting man, but I just bet you that most everybody in here, under the sound of my voice, has got someone they're praying for salvation. In your bulletin this morning, there is that perforated little prayer list, prayer card, you know, that you pull out. I want you to tear that off. If you don't have one, just write this down on a piece of paper. I want you to help me, and I want us to help one another to pray for each other and the people we're praying for salvation. So I want you to write a name down, a first name, not a last, just John, Paul, George, whoever, I don't care, Mary, whoever you want to write, the name that you're praying for. And it may be 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. You just start writing names, just first names. Don't give me an address. I'm not going to see them. I'm not going to call them, you know. But just write names down for me. A name that we can present to God and that you can present to God. Would you do that right now? And if you don't have anybody you're praying for salvation, you go home and get on your face before God and you ask God to give you a name of a person before you go to bed tonight that He can so burden you about, or you come join with me and let's walk around this community and see 50,000 people that we can at least share Christ with or tell them about Jesus. We have such an excellent opportunity that people come to us every day. 15 and 20 of them a day come to this door right over here for sack lunches and food, and we get the chance to at least tell them a little bit about Jesus. Thank you, Lord. They're coming to us. Miss Giza Hacker is doing our English classes. She needs help on those English classes. And those dear folks, so many of them more are wanting to know about Jesus in the English language and to know what it means. And she's seeing them saved constantly. Perhaps you can come and help out. That's another avenue of ministry. But right now, names, just someone or something that's on your heart that you've got listed. And let me tell you what I want to do with this list, just for us. This is not a public list. We publish our prayer guide on Wednesday nights and throughout the week for people to pray about. I'm going to add a sheet to that, or at least put it, and I'm just going to list names. We're going to call it our prayer for salvation list, and eventually we're going to have it in the prayer room where we're praying constantly. But we're going to have this list. All of our staff is going to have it. You can have a copy of it. And then every day when you pray for Joe. You can pray for Mary. You can pray for whomever's on that list just by name. It doesn't matter. You don't have to know their last name. God does that. And pray for their salvation. And start praying for this community. I know you are, folks. I know you have been for years. But start praying for this community even more than we've ever been. When you leave the church service this morning, you go home and you drive either way on Austell Road or Sandtown or Olive Springs, think about that person in the car behind you. Think about that person in the car next to you, that house you pass, that car that's broken down on the side of the road, that guy that's out cutting grass or whatever. Think about him. Is he saved? Does he know Jesus? It won't be long, folks, when you start praying like that, God's going to put people in your path and put things in front of you that's going to absolutely blow us away. We've got an opportunity coming up here on October 31st on our Hallelujah Harvest. It's soul-winning commitment day. We're going to have a big agape lunch. It's a feast. It's a time of covered dish meal. Just a good old home time together where we can come together and celebrate these messages, celebrate salvation. And then on the 31st that morning, we're going to have a big old testimony service in here where we're going to put mics in the aisles. I want you just to share with us about what Jesus has done. And it's going to be a glorious time hearing of the power of God. But folks, we got to pray. We got to pray. When Jesus came to this earth the first time around, folks, He came in onto this earth as a little baby in a manger. But you know what we did? We put a crown of thorns on Him. And we killed Him. They put Him in a borrowed tomb of Joseph's. And on the third day, early in the morning, remember? That old rock began to shake and the angel of God moved that rock. Not so Jesus could get out, but so that you and I could look in and see. Not only is it an empty cross, bless God, it's an empty tomb. And Jesus is gone. Folks, one day, when He came the first time, we crowned Him with a crown of thorns. But when He comes back the second time, when He comes back, we're going to crown Him with grace. Would you be willing to do that this morning? Would you be willing to crown Jesus Christ with grace today by bringing Him a name who is not saved and placing it on this altar? Brother Andy, I can't walk down there. You get someone else to bring it. They'll be more than happy to bring it for you in a minute. And just fill up this altar. Maybe you want to just stay down here and pray for that person for a minute. You might want to come sit on the pew. Whatever. But just bring a name or two or three. And folks, this is not a one-time deal on these names. You can call the church and you tell Sally to add such and such a first name to our salvation list, our prayer list. And we'll add it to that list. And we'll keep adding it. I'll give it out on Wednesday night and it'll be available. We're not going to embarrass anybody by their last name, so they would, but put a name down there so we can pray. But would you fill up this altar right now? Would you be willing to come and do that? Remember the song. Remember the Word of God. We put a crown of thorns on Him the first time. But one day we'll crown Him with grace. Pray with me, would you? Lord Jesus, such a simple message about our problem, sin. And Father, my prayer is today that everybody in this house knows without a doubt that they're saved, that they're on their way to heaven. But Lord, if there is any question, I pray today is their day of salvation. Lord, I pray for every name that we come in just a little while and bring and put right here at this altar and just cover this altar up with little white pieces of paper with first names on it. They represent a need, a person that needs to know Jesus. Father, we just want to crown you with grace this morning. We want to tell you how much we love you, how much we adore you, and what a burden you've put on our hearts again today about so many lost folks all around us. Oh, Jesus, change our hearts today. Light our fires like never before. And may we be a witness like never, ever, ever before. I pray it in the very name and power of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And amen.
Father, so many
so many names I know are on the hearts of these dear saints of God in this house. And so many feel like I do, Lord Jesus, there is so much work to do, and how do we get it all done? Father, thank you for simply a name. A name that we can pray for salvation. And a name, Lord Jesus, that you honor. And Father, I pray literally for every name that these folks have written down. Because I know these names doesn't represent something just thought up on the spur of the moment. These are heartfelt things that are going on in their lives. And Father, for that person whose name is on these lists and in their hearts right now that perhaps they didn't write down, I just pray, Lord Jesus, you'd prick the conscience and the heart of that person right now, that you would, something would happen. Maybe he would see the name Jesus. Maybe she would hear a song flipping through the channels on a radio. Something would happen this very second that would turn her attention to Jesus. I pray that for everyone on this list. And I pray for the faithful souls and heart in this room, Father, whose hearts are crying at this very moment because they want that dear grandson or that granddaughter to be saved. They want that mother and dad to be saved. They want, Lord Jesus, this family people and these co-workers and these neighbors to be saved. God, change their hearts and use our prayer. Use the power of God like never before so that, Lord, we can reduce that 50,000, even if it's just the two or three. Then so be it. Praise God for two more in the kingdom. Oh, Lord, thank you. Would you stand to your feet right where you are? Sing this with Doug and the choir. Jesus, we crown you with grace. Would you sing that?
Jesus, we crown you with grace.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Jesus, we crown you with grace. We honor and adore you. Bow down before you. Jesus, we crown you with grace. Jesus, we crown you with grace.
Sing that chorus. Beautiful chorus. Time in the Lord this morning.